With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Affected by Altitude, a Colorado Rockies podcast for and by Rockies fans on Rocky Mountain Rooftop. Thank you for joining us as we discuss all things baseball and Colorado Rockies.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Affected by Altitude, a Colorado Rockies podcast, part of the Rocky Mountain Rooftop Network, the Rockies affiliate of the Fans First Sports Network. I am your host, Skylar Timmons, joined here with the cat on the hat with the sunglasses. It's Evan Lang.
How's it going, everybody? Happy opening weekend to all who observe, which I hope is most of you if you're listening to this podcast.
Mm-hmm. My working title for this podcast is Skylar X Evan, the new season. Are you the giant ape or the giant lizard?
I don't know. I do like sunning. I do tend to shut down when the temperatures are colder.
Godzilla does curl up in the Rome Coliseum and sleeps like a cat. He's just always sleeping in that movie. He just like gets up like an angry man, go beats up a monster, and then immediately goes back to sleep.
I mean, wouldn't you?
Yes. With no regard for the world around him, Godzilla is one angry lizard. But, okay, you can be Godzilla, I'll be King Kong.
I mean, I'll be whatever. I mean,
I'll be big monkey with power gauntlet, punching orangutans.
I mean, if I get to grab a child by the ankles and use it to beat other people...
It's so funny.
Then,
that is a legit thing that happens in the new Godzilla King Kong movie. Kong takes that little mini Kong by the legs and beats down another ape with it. The mini Kong's okay. I'll preface that. I'll make sure that's out there. But it's the funniest thing I've seen on a big movie screen in a while.
It is actively hilarious. Think about if a stadium brawl were to erupt and a ball game goer were to grab his 6-year-old child by the ankles and start just,
he's just swinging
him around.
It is hilarious. And I love it so much. Go see the new King Kong movie. It is hilarious.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Yeah. That's your Timmons pick of the day. But speaking of beatdowns, we're going to talk about we're going to talk about opening day and the Rockies and some good stuff here. The season is finally underway, Evan. I think we can say at least it's nice that the season has begun. Not exactly the way we want, but how are you feeling, though? Just baseball is back. Regular season in general is back.
Now that I'm delighted for. Having baseball on is always going to make me happy, regardless of what team that is playing. The NPB has also started already. It's been nice to have baseball back officially. I know spring training was going, but you know, only so many of those games are televised that you can't really watch as many of them. Some of them weren't even on the radio. So having just pretty much all day access to baseball, that's going to do it for me. I enjoy that. Now, the Rockies, on the other hand,
we'll get into that in just a second, but yeah, it's nice to have it back. It's just we've already had drama in the first couple of days of the season, having bench clearing brawls, instant GIF legend, Rhys Hoskins giving Jeff McNeil the wham.
But also, as soon as he left, he immediately booked it to the clubhouse before he started jawing off.
We had a hilarious, unfortunate, no, I wouldn't say unfortunate, just funny name of a veteran at the Mets game. And we're already seeing how awful the jerseys are and how sweaty the Yankees are.
That is, like, the whole thing with this, that Nike and Fanatics and MLB have been defending their jerseys. They're so light and they're so breathable, and the players aren't going to sweat as much. And we're watching the Yankees games, and they have sweat completely through their road grays. They are totally soaked. It's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just shows like how low the quality is, because the old jerseys had a, like, you were going to get wet if it was raining, or, you know, some really sweaty folks. Like, Carlos Rodon is a very sweaty man when he pitches, but this was a lot.
It's that when that material gets so thin, there's nothing for the moisture to like soak into in a layer. Like, I've had performance wear stuff, and I tend to, would, it doesn't soak through as much, but these jerseys, you can tell it's that low quality, thin material. We were already seeing some stuff. Now we're seeing just the sweaty outlines of just, these dudes.
It doesn't appear to wick moisture, because the whole point is that they're supposed to, it like you said, it absorbs a little bit of the moisture, but then it dries pretty quickly. And this just doesn't appear to be the case with these. And then even not for that, we've already had gray tops not matching gray bottoms when it comes to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim of California. And the Rockies road grays did not look very good. They looked cheap. You couldn't really see the white outline on the nameplate or the numbers. The nameplates looked pretty bad. They looked bad. And it's frustrating because so many people just kind of stopped talking about how bad the new uniforms were after a while. But this is still something that we're going to have to contend with all season, is that they look terrible. But indeed, thankfully, there is some renewed fervor on that hopefully maybe there will be a change, but you never know.
Yeah.
I will say, of the Rockies season uniforms, the purple tops look the least bad.
Yeah.
And I think it's because those nice, vibrant colors tends to hide a lot of the other flaws.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But, so stuff going on around the league. We're having fun. But
Royce Lewis is already hurt.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Twins fans. Why are your best players made of glass?
Oh, no. Well, we know what that's like. But some quick little housekeeping, catching up here. Opening day roster was set. We already knew most of it the last time you heard from us in our extra B-side episode. But Michael Tolia makes the roster. Sean Bouchard optioned to AAA Albuquerque. Victor Vodnik also made the bullpen, which, hey, way to go. And as we knew, Alan Trejo was selected. But as a result, Warming Bernabell was designated for assignment. A top 30 prospect, I believe. We had added him as a Rule 5, just kind of protection. Was it most recently or the year before? Something like that. But, so the opening day roster set. Tolia, he earned his way onto that roster. It's a shame he just hasn't played yet, as of recording, after the first two games.
And he got put in late in Thursday's opener. When it comes to Warming Bernabell, I agree that it's not ideal. Number 17 per MLB pipeline, number 17 on our Purple Row Perps rankings. I believe Baseball America had him as number 27. You know, you don't want to have to DFA a top prospect, and it was entirely avoidable due to some of the Rockies roster shenanigans. So they DFA'd Sam Hilliard to bring in Greg Jones. So that immediately opened and then closed a spot on the 40-man roster. But it was really Jake Cave acquisition that made it so that this ended up happening, because Jake Cave was on the put on the 40, so they had to use Ehrman moving to the 60 day to open up that spot, which meant that to put Alan Trejo on the roster, they had to DFA somebody. I figured it was either going to be Warming Bernabell or Riley Pint. They ended up going with Warming Bernabell, so now we just wait and see if he clears waivers, and we'll go from there. Mm-hmm. It's not ideal. I admit it's not ideal, and I know that some people are very frustrated with this. However, despite his ranking, Warming Bernabell, to me, doesn't really have as much of a spot for the future of this organization as some of the other prospects.
Yeah.
That's why I figured he would be one of the two they would DFA if they had to DFA somebody.
Yeah, and it's just, for me, that's the thing, is like, yeah, oh, that sucks for him, and he's had some good stuff, but it's one of those things where not everybody is going to make it with the team, and you're still focusing, fill it with prospects, fill the big league roster. You still need big league players on the roster, and Alan Trejo earned his spot, and there's no problem having Trejo on the roster. And it's just this thing of people are upset when the Rockies do things to add to the roster, but then they're upset when they don't do certain things to add to the roster. We're just upset about everything.
Yeah. And I'll be the first to say, like, we talked about it plenty. I think bringing in Jake Cave was very silly. I think probably the best option would have been to just hang on to Sam Hilliard because he was already on the 40, and then you don't have to deal with any sort of these roster shenanigans. But what's done is done. Yeah. And now we've got to move on.
Yeah. And like Trejo and Bernabell, essentially the same player at the moment. They got some good defense, some good offense, but nothing really like world shattering. And so you're fine either having either one of them. And Trejo just earned his way onto the roster.
And the big thing with Trejo is that he is experienced with coming off of the bench. He's experienced for not playing every day. Yeah. And that makes him valuable as that utility man role, because he can come in and not be as shaken up by not having played for a couple days.
Yeah. And I think that's the huge thing when filling out a bench. Like, you need guys that can come off. That's partly why they brought in Jake Cave, because he's accustomed to that bench role, coming off the bench, hitting a fastball, that type of thing. So, move makes sense. I'm not really mad about it. It's like, yeah, whatever type of thing. Now, if they had DFA'd like Adele Amador, then we're going to be like, what in the world? But that's not going to happen. But a guy like Warming Bernabell, those lower top 30 guys, yeah, they're a little bit more expendable, so to speak. But so that's the opening day roster. Moving along here quickly as we can. TV cable stuff was announced. So you have the option of streaming on Rockies TV, which is what I'm doing. And then you have your cable announcement. So it is on TV through those various means. You can find articles online. I believe that's how Evan's rolling these days, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm trying to decide which I'm going to go with. I do have cable and I do have access to the cable option, but I purchased my Rockies TV because they still hadn't announced the cable option yet. So the first two nights of the season I have watched on Rockies TV. Broadcast quality is good.
Yeah.
I like the presentation package. I think the scorebug is nice. Short little 10 to 15 minute pregame and postgame shows, not super long. It's nice to have everybody back. We still miss Jenny, obviously. I will say they're still getting the hang of some of the new camera angles and stuff like that. There's a couple times where they'll be doing the sideline camera, and it's, I think, just whipping a little bit too fast.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think it's working very well. I think it's totally fine. I think it's a perfectly cromulent way to watch Rockies baseball.
Yeah. And I always like with the Rockies TV option is that, hey, if you don't want to be listening to Drew Goodman for whatever reason, you can just click and, oh, now I'm listening to Jack Corrigan and Jerry Schimmel while watching the game.
So does that only work on the mobile or desktop version of the app?
It should work on the TV app as well.
I was watching on my PS5. And I could not find a way to change that setting.
Interesting.
But it's something I'll mess with tonight for tonight's game.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see, like, oh, this is cool. Now I'll just switch over to the radio audio. And I couldn't do it. But I have some other ways I can pull up the app to see how it works, so we'll find out.
But, yeah, so that's going on. You can watch them, whether you like it or not. Hey, I just like watching baseball.
I'll add one thing to the general housekeeping. AAA season started last night at time of recording, Friday night, March 29th. And some of your favorite Rockies top prospects were StatCast leaders and did some fun stuff in their game. Unfortunately, a loss to the Padres affiliate El Paso Chihuahuas. But Hunter Goodman had one of the top exit velocities of the day at 110.1 miles per hour. Jordan Beck and Drew Romo had two of the top hitting distances. Jordan Beck hit his first AAA hit and his first AAA home run in the game. That AAA home run went long and far at 450 feet. And Drew Romo hit, I believe it was a double that went 436 feet. So very fun. Excited to have all of these guys in AAA. The reinforcements are coming, and I really think you're going to see Romo and Beck much sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. They're going to debut this year. I'm calling it now.
Mm-hmm. Let us hope so. Especially if Jordan Beck can like ball out this month, it's going to put some heat on, honestly, on Montero and even Tolia. Of, you know, one of the, you better start figuring things out because we've got a dude coming. You know, hey, even Jake Cave, but I think he'll find a way to stay on that roster. Some way, somehow, he'll get that Harold Castro treatment.
I cannot believe that we kept Harold Castro through the entire season still.
Somebody had to play second base.
Yeah, his name was Brendan Rodgers.
No, he was
back
broken.
He was back at that point.
But yeah, it's good to see AAA. And as we go throughout the year, we'll try and figure out our regular way to do maybe the Pebble Report podcast a little more regularly. We weren't able to do that last year. But I think that's something that we both want to try and do more this year. Focus, get a little more coverage on that minor league side. Because, hey, that's where the future is, baby.
Baby.
But, yeah, Jordan Beck hitting a bomb in his first AAA game. Heck yeah.
And it was pretty great. It was very, very cool. With the ever-excellent Josh Suchon on the call. And,
yeah.
It's pretty great to be able to watch minor league baseball so easily these days. If you have an MLB TV subscription, once you pull up your main page, you literally just need to tick down a couple and it'll show you, here are the live games for Rockies affiliates.
Yeah. And I love that it was included with Rockies TV. I for some reason I thought like, I don't know if it will be like, will it? But yes, it absolutely is. Along with all the other access to MLB stuff. You just can only watch the Rockies if you just have Rockies TV.
And I believe you cannot watch the out-of-town broadcast. So if not, or out-of-town, the opposing team's broadcast. So you can't watch the Diamondbacks broadcast of these Rockies games for the opening series. But why would you?
I was wondering about that, too. I was like, well, what if you want to, like, would you be able to get access to both feeds for that game? Which it would make sense if you could, but... Oh, well,
I'll tinker with it a little bit more tonight and see, because I have the whole thing. I watch enough baseball and I watch enough other teams that it's worth it to have the complete MLB TV package. Mm-hmm. So I'll keep messing with it. But overall, I think it's pretty good. I'm very happy with how the TV thing shook out. I know some people are not thrilled with how long it took them to announce the cable option, but at least there is a cable option. If you already paid for your Rockies TV and you want to only use the cable option, I believe you have a week to cancel. I think that mm-hmm. sounds about right, and get your money refunded. But for me, even though I have the option to watch it on cable, the thing I like about Rockies TV is that I can go anywhere with it, versus mm-hmm. You know, only being able to watch it at home. Like if I go to a family member's house and they don't have cable, I can just pull up MLB TV and here is the Rockies game. So I think it'll work out.
Yeah. Not too shabby. It's nice to have it on TV, but that's enough, I think, for housekeeping. So we'll take a break here, and then when we come back, we'll finally get into the nitty gritty of the beginning of the season and some comments from a certain owner talking to the Denver Post. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on Affected by Altitude.
More like mouse keeping.
Welcome back here to Affected by Altitude. I'm your host, Skylar Timmons, joined here with Evan Lang, talking Rockies. Finished up our housekeeping, cleaning some things up at the start of the year. But the big story, start of opening day for the Rockies, a pretty abysmal start to the season on opening day. And you know, it's hard, you'll hear this on Monday, so we won't have the full recap of the opening series. But I think the main focus is the tone set on opening day that wasn't great for the Rockies as they lose 16-1 to the Arizona Diamondbacks thanks to a 14-run third inning by the Diamondbacks to set a modern era opening day record for most runs in an inning and hits in an inning. Now, they batted around twice, Evan, scored 14 runs. It took the Rockies three pitchers to get out of the inning. Poor Anthony Molina has 162 ERA to begin his big league career. Kyle Freeland's is super inflated now. Just an ugly, ugly game for the Rockies as they scored one run on four hits in the opening day game. What was your reaction? Give me your thoughts watching that game, specifically in that third inning.
So expectations were low coming into this game. Let's be quite clear with that. But Kyle Freeland was not sharp coming out of the gate. He didn't have a 1-2-3 inning in any of the frames that he worked. He gave up two runs from a Lourdes Gurriel Jr. home run in the first inning. And then the third inning happened, and it was just a beatdown. Not just one of the worst opening day innings in Major League modern history, but it was the single worst inning in Colorado Rockies franchise history. Like you said, 14 runs on 13 hits, 18 people came around to the plate. It was ugly, and it was, I would say, genuinely shocking. Like, my expectations were low, but my goodness, that's a tone setter to start the season when expectations are already low. Kyle Freeland, 2 1/3 innings, 10 hits, 10 runs, 10 earned, 2 strikeouts, 1 walk. He wasn't sharp. And then I do not understand this decision of throwing rookie Anthony Molina to the Wolves in his big league debut. He only made it through 1/3 of an inning, 6 hits, 6 earned runs, 1 walk, no strikeouts. His ERA is 162. And that's I was having a Jose Mujica.
Poor Jose Mujica.
where Bud Black, when fresh coming off of Tommy John making his major league debut, threw Jose Mujica to the Wolves with the bases loaded and no outs, where he promptly gave up a grand slam. So that was very strange to me. And then Jalen Beeks came in to finish out the inning. What also was very strange to me was how he had short single inning relief guys pitching a lot. Like Jalen Beeks, who's a single inning guy, generally 2 1/3 innings. Victor Vodnik, who is a single innings guy, 2 innings. You know, they each threw like 50 something pitches, and that was very odd to me. I don't know why you would not bring in Peter Lambert, who specifically is your stretched out long reliever, to just try and suffer through the rest of that game instead of, you know, last year overusing the bullpen was a big problem. And not off to a good start in terms of bullpen use this season. But it was rough. And they did all of this on just one home run. They were getting hard hit singles and doubles.
Yeah, here's the breakdown of the hits in that third inning. Single, single, walk. Single, double, single, single, fly out for the first out. Double, single, single, walk. Single, single, double, sac fly for two outs. Single, ground out for the third out, finally. So, just what, 3 doubles? They were, wow, that's like a pattern they were going on. Single, single, walk, single, double, single, single, fly out, double, single, single, walk, single, single, double, sac fly, single, ground out. Get that rhythm going. What a bop. But yeah. Luckily, I was a little distracted. I was playing some Helldivers 2 with some buddies. So I had the game in like the corner of my eye looking over. There was better things going on as I was kind of panicked running away from robots shooting at me. Then I was in a better situation than the Rockies were.
Yeah. And moment. You know, the rhythm is a bop. The Rockies did not bop. One run on four hits. That one run came in the second inning on back-to-back doubles from Brandon Rogers and Ryan McMahon. And, you know, I will, at least for that first game, the Rockies drew three walks and they only struck out six times. That is a solid plate approach. But then the next game, we had none of that. So,
yeah. and they think that's the problems we see from that opening day game. Yeah, it was awful. But things could go up from there. But it's an awful way to set the tone for the season, especially in a year when we already know the rotation is the Rockies' weakest part of their team. Now, and Kyle Freeland's supposed to be your leader to lock it down, had a resurgent spring training, looking good. And it's a stark contrast. Where was this good, I guess, overall Rockies spring training team? What changed between Tuesday and Thursday? And just this switch of a flip to where now they look, most of them look clueless at the plate, weren't getting good swings, striking out or over these first couple of games.
A mix of bad and unlucky defense.
Yeah. Yeah. And like defense that did not look crisp at all. Like there was been a ton of stuff hit to Tovar, who we know what he can do with the glove, but
it's getting under his glove or it's bouncing off his glove.
Yeah. Nolan Jones has kind of fumbled a few plays in left field. And so it's this defense that doesn't look crisp at the moment. Like it looks like they're just at the beginning of spring training again, which is really weird.
And it doesn't help. And we'll talk a little bit more about Friday's game as well. But the body language is bad in that dugout to start the season after that first game.
Yeah. It's hard when they have these expectations and like of themselves, like they expect themselves to be better than they were and playing with a chip on their shoulder. But then when you're, quote unquote, ace goes out and coughs up, you know, 10 runs in one inning, recording one out, you're like, oh man, this is not good. We're already starting ourselves in a hole because, like you mentioned, those relievers had to come in, throw a bunch. And then the next day, it's the same thing we saw last year where the starters weren't going very long or weren't doing very well. And then the bullpen's having to pick up a lot of slack and they're getting burned out. And all of a sudden,
yeah,
we find ourselves once again losing 20 plus games in the month of April to start the season. And our offense isn't clicking as a whole. Like Ryan McMahon, dude has come out ready to swing.
Yes.
Like he has done very well here in this first couple of games that we're recording. But it's a good, nice thing to see to start. We've seen some other guys like get some hits here and there and look better as we go, and I'm sure it'll hopefully get better as time goes on. But Ryan McMahon coming out of the gate strong, I think, is really crucial for him and the team in general.
Yes, Ryan McMahon, it's a nice positive to talk about. We talked about a little bit how he quietly had a very nice spring, and we've seen his mechanical changes, shortening up on his swing, changing his plate approach. Ryan McMahon, no strikeouts over the first two games while drawing two walks, and is 4-for-6 with a double and an RBI. That'll play. He's looked good. His swing has looked cleaner. It's not really looking like he's got that same big hole in his swing that he had for large parts of the season last year. Ryan McMahon is something to be very happy about. Another guy that we can be positive about, Aluris Montero, while he hasn't gotten his first hit yet, he's made very good contact and taken some pretty good at bats. In Thursday's game, he had multiple very hard hit balls that just got robbed. Where Eugenio Suarez made a leaping catch to steal extra bases from him, and it was who's Alec Thomas in center field, who robbed him of another one. He's making good contact. I think the hits are going to come for him.
Yeah.
It's tough because, you know, who I'm not particularly thrilled with out of the gate is our man, Chris Bryant.
Yeah. And he didn't have a great spring. Like, he threw some home runs in there here and there, but a lot of these guys, they're just coming out of the gate sluggish and swinging wildly at things. Like, I would expect through those first couple of games, like, you're being very, very selective with your pitches, because you just want to, like, see real in-game action.
Yeah. Take your pitches, get your timing down.
And, no, and I think a big thing that compounds all this is it just feels like a glaring thing of what is the Rockies' preparation? What information do they have? Because, you know, you look at the Diamondbacks, those dudes came ready to hit and defend their National League title, come back in, and they were swinging at everything and were not missing.
Yeah.
You know, pounding it, first pitch, fastball over the middle of the plate. Another problem, we kept leaving it up over the middle of the plate, and the Diamondbacks were just not missing, whereas the Rockies are swinging at ball in the dirt, curveball down and away, I'm swinging at it.
Yeah.
And so we talked about what Hensley Mullins is trying to do with the team, but it still hasn't quite translated over yet to a lot of guys.
And what was frustrating with last night's game, the Diamondbacks had Merrill Kelly on the mound, and the Rockies struck out 11 times. They drew zero walks, and they were chasing. And in the postgame, Bud Black says, well, Merrill Kelly pitched exactly how we expected him to. Okay, then what was your preparation for that? Because he made you look like fools.
We expected him to hand us our butt.
And he did.
And he did.
That was really frustrating, because it's like, what's your preparation then? If he pitched exactly like how you knew he was going to pitch, why this? Mm-hmm. Where he had a great game. He pitched 6 2/3 inning, only gave up 3 hits, and only gave up 1 earned run. That 1 earned run was a solo shot from Elias Diaz, which is the Rockies' first home run of the season. And outside of that, had a excellent ball game. So what is the Rockies' preparation? Because they look unprepared for this series.
Yeah. And Diamondbacks, all credit to them. Like, they're a good team.
Yeah. They're the defending NL champs.
You can see just that glaring difference of where these two teams are. Where, man, I would love to see the Rockies put up a crooked inning like that. I don't know the last time we have seen the Rockies put up a crooked inning in a while. I can't think of one from last year. So it's discouraging. Like, man, I want the Rockies to do what the Diamondbacks are doing. They're spending money to improve their roster. They've committed to a young, strong core, and then supplemental pieces who have developed well and resurged with the Diamondbacks, carried by an incredible top two in your starting rotation. Rockies just aren't on the same page.
A starting rotation that will soon have Jordan Montgomery in it.
Yeah, and Eduardo Rodriguez when he recovers. So, man. This month of April is going to be rough, Evan. Opening day, at least it's done and over with. Get that really bad one out of the way and just go up from there. Shake it off. Ooh. Please don't come after us, Taylor Swift. But speaking of speaking of things that just don't help at all, one Mr. Monfort talking to the Denver Post had some interesting quotes, and none of them have sat well with anybody, because I think it just kind of exacerbates the problem still that he's just kind of out of touch with just the baseball world in general and the Rockies, and that they're in a rough place. I think he understands, yes, we're bad, but doesn't really understand how to stop being bad.
Or at the very least, wants to stop being bad his way. That was the thing that really stuck with me. So this was with Troy Rank of the Denver Post, where you know, Dick Monfort, he says some things like, I'm frustrated with losing. I don't like losing. I want to win. The only way to silence the critics is to win. But then they go through of like, well, what are you going to do to win? What are you going to change to win? And his answer is basically, well, nothing. Mm-hmm. Are you going to bring in people from outside the organization? Nah. What about free agents? Eh. Are you going to continue to grow the analytics department?
I don't really feel like it. Yeah, it's all the stock answers we keep hearing from the team of, and this is what Troy Rink says, writes, Monfort bases his optimism on a core of talented young players, shortstop Ezekiel Tovar, outfielders Nolan Jones and Brenton Doyle, and top prospects Jordan Beck, Dale Amador, and Chase Dolander. All good guys to base optimism on. So, like, he's not wrong there. Like, we're in that same boat. Improved health and bounce back performances from veterans Chris Bryant and Kyle Freeland as well. Not all the young talent is going to be on display right away, but it's coming. And I think we get pitchers Ramon Marquez and Antonio Senzatela back somewhere around mid-year, so I think we can compete. Not this year, buddy. But it's these stocky answers we keep hearing, Evan, of, oh, if these guys, we're just expecting bounce backs from them,
yeah,
and we'll compete.
We just need to play better.
Yeah, it's all the way to go around to say we just need to play better.
Yeah,
which
Senzatela is not expected to be back this year.
Yeah,
for what it's worth, if he pitches at all, it's going to be in a rehab assignment towards the end of the year with the minor league teams. But he is not expected on the big league roster this year. Mm-hmm. But it was, I admit, I was having a conversation with some other folks yesterday about this, that on its head, this interview is a nothing burger. It's an out of touch billionaire baseball owner who likes things done his way, saying what he thinks are the right things. But I think to Rockies fans, it is going to rankle them because it's the same kind of stuff they've been hearing is, oh, the players just need to play better and the young talent is coming. And that's what we've been being told for a long time now.
Basically 30 years.
Now, the thing is with this interview is that people are just, they're mad at Dick Monfort. And we've seen a lot of backlash against, you know, on social media, against outlets like Purple Row and stuff about how, well, why aren't we constantly talking about how bad the ownership is and how Dick Monfort needs to sell the team? And I feel like it's worth saying here, Dick Monfort is not going to sell the team. It's not going to happen. He's not going to get forced to sell the team. He's not going to voluntarily sell the team. It's not going to happen. No matter what we do, no matter what you do, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah. And the big thing with that is like, I don't think Dick Monfort's like perusing social media.
Yeah.
He couldn't care less. He cares. Perhaps might care what the fans think and like, hey, I want to lose. I don't want these fans to hate me, but they do. And no, he's still a human being and he wants to be loved, Evan. He wants to be loved.
I think he obviously cares what the fans think. While he's not pursuing social media, you know, there's a reason why sent from my iPad is a thing.
Yeah.
And it's because he does read emails that the fans send him. And he does know what the fan outlook is of the team. And you can see that he does get frustrated and it leads him to say some dumb things, like his infamous comments from, what was it, 2013 or 14, where he's like, well, if you don't like the how the Rockies are run, maybe you don't deserve a team, that kind of thing. But what I will say about this interview is that while it is a frustrating one, he actually keeps it a lot more realistic and doesn't say anything dumb. There's no interpolating the dumb in terms of unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
And he doesn't interpolate the numbers. He doesn't say we're going to be competitive. He doesn't say that we're going to be a 500 ball club.
Mm-hmm.
He just says, I want to win. I'm sick of losing.
But the air that comes from it, and this is my thing, is he wants to win. I do believe that. Like, because who wants to just own a baseball team to lose? Like, I think he cares and he wants to win. But the big thing is that he's too stubborn to change the way of how to run the ball club. And this comes in talking about the interview process before they hired Bill Schmidt. Is bringing in someone from the outside is the other side of it. And I'm not saying it's totally wrong, but when Jeff Breidich left, there were a lot of people from the outside who interviewed or had interest. They would tell me how to win at altitude, and everything they mentioned, it would not have worked, or it's all things we have tried. I think in any business, you have to have people you can trust, and I trust both of them. Talking about Bill Schmidt and Bud Black, with Schmidt, it's his third year. I think he has a good handle on it. I think he has a lot of talent to work with coming up. Take the combination of smart baseball people who work hard, who are trustworthy, loyal, and all want to win in Colorado. That's a damn good combination. I do worry I am when he's too loyal to those already in his organization. I do worry I am. I am open-minded to everything. But if you have to be organic, you have to stick with organic guys. Which, I don't know what the heck that means. And by organic, he's referring to the club's draft and development philosophy. So like, there's good sentiments in there. But it shows a stubbornness about how he runs the ball club, where you have outside people who are willingly coming to interview for this position to try to face this challenge, to figure out this problem of how do you win at altitude. And for him to blatantly say, that won't work.
That won't work. We've already tried that.
That is some grade A baloney. Because obviously what he's been trying for however long isn't working either, so why not bring in a fresh set of eyes instead of just promoting from within, who again kind of rinse and repeat the same crap we have been hearing for 30 years, because draft and develop, that hasn't worked out super as well as they think it has, because look at the draft and develop that's on your roster right now. A lot of it hasn't worked out, or over your history.
And what I wonder is, this is worth mentioning as well. We've made it to the regular season without a Bud Black extension, which is, I think, for a lot of people, genuinely surprising, especially after the news broke a couple weeks ago that Dick Monfort was pursuing an extension. So what I wonder is, you know, if Dick Monfort, stubborn, loyal guy, wants Bud Black, and either Bud doesn't necessarily want to come back, or someone else in the organization is being resistant to it. It could be Bill Schmidt, it could be Bud, it could be other people in the clubhouse. We have no idea, but it does legitimately surprise me that they didn't get an extension done before the season started. Yeah. Because the whole talk of the extension was, well, we want to avoid having Bud being the lame duck manager or whatever.
Yeah.
But we know how stubborn and how loyal Dick Monfort is. Look at the fact that there's still not a official president of baseball operations.
There's the whatever the heck Rockies. Greg Fiesel's doing.
The businessman doing business things. Whereas, you know, you could just bite the bullet and name Clint Hurdle the president of baseball operations or just, something like that.
Just promote Bill Schmidt to president of baseball ops and then hire a GM. You know, because the baseball ops guy, or just name him baseball ops and GM.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of other teams do. But it's just that stubbornness, I think, from Monfort where I still feel like he wants to be the one that's viewed the beloved owner, the savior of Rockies baseball, who, you know, and I can understand that. Like, he owns his team. He wants to be the one to bring in a championship. But it's the means of how he wants to go about that, I think, is what the main problem is. Where Monfort could easily be a great owner, a well-respected great owner in baseball, and in Colorado, but the problem is the way this team has operated and the meddling and all this other dumb moves and other things has tainted that reputation, that idea he may have of what he wants to be. I don't think that's possible for him at this point in time or anywhere near, unless, you know, he kind of has that epiphany of, okay, I really need to change some things. We really need to overhaul this thing. This isn't a mom and pop store. This is a multi-million dollar valued organization. You got to do something. You got to be open-minded and realize that there may be people out there with better ideas than you or the people you've surrounded yourself with. Yeah. Now, don't be going out hiring in a dirt bag who just kind of tears everything down and whatnot. Like, you still got to trust guys. I understand that. But that's why you got to build relationships around the league and, you know, get to know guys. Build relationships with other teams of guys that you trust. So then, hey, come off season, yeah, we want to poach this guy from this organization. Give him a better position in our club, you know? Just frustrating.
It is. And, you know, sadly, there's not a whole lot we can do about it. So
we just keep critiquing and writing and doing all the good stuff. Because at the end of the day,
spread things out and talk about the, you know, there are going to be positive things and there are going to be interesting things to talk about the club this year, even if they are bad, even if they lose a lot of games, there's going to be stuff worth talking about. We can't just focus on the negative. We can't just focus on Dick Monfort's bad and needs to sell the team. After a week, that's going to get old. 162 games in a season worth of just that. Who's going to want to read that?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to want to write that? I certainly don't.
It's like, I love pizza, Evan. Could I eat pizza every single day?
Yes.
Oh. Bad example. But after a while, at some point, I'm going to be like, ugh. I can maybe go a week. I did that once in college. I ate pizza at least once a day for a week.
It'd be more like if you were eating.
By the end of that, I was like,
every meal of every day.
Yeah.
For a week.
Yeah.
Or you went and you had Taco Bell for every meal of every day for a week. Eventually, you're going to barf.
This is true. Yeah. So just spread it all around. But yeah. No, Mr. Monfort.
This is a great setup for our final segment.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and take another break here. When we come back, we'll finish this thing out with another conversation about the Rockies on a topic.
Look at the cats.
Welcome back here to Affected by Altitude. Final segment coming in hot. Having our whole conversation about Dick Monfort and the season and everything. And it kind of got us thinking, you know, how should we approach this season, you know, as fans, as, you know, writers, as critics, all this other stuff, fans, and hopefully maybe share some advice or have this little discussion here of, we know the Rockies are going to be bad, Evan. I think that's pretty evident. The Rockies are going to be bad. They are not competing to get to the playoffs. They're likely going to finish last in the National League West, may even be one of the worst teams in baseball. And then get, you know, robbed of the number one pick again. But it's going to be bad. So I don't think anybody should expecting them to make a run. So if this is the case, Evan, then how should I approach this season knowing these things?
I mean, I admit it's tough. It's tough to know that your team is going to be bad. They're probably not going to do a whole lot. You know, almost all of the articles and things and projections we've seen about the NL West, pardon me, don't even mention the Rockies.
Or like, oh, and yeah, the Rockies exist.
We are a footnote. We are catching strays on other broadcasts. Someone was telling me that the Padres broadcast last night, the Padres are not playing the Rockies and do not play the Rockies for a hot minute, was mentioning how bad the Rockies are. And it's like, wow, okay. Catching strays on a game we're not even playing in.
Yeah, you're one to talk, though, Padres. At least we haven't blown like a ton of money and then have to blow it all up because we fail to make the playoffs.
Womp, womp. But here's the thing. Expectations about the Rockies are low. Way low. So, what do you do? That's the question, right? What do you do? What does a Rockies fan do in a season that is predestined to be bad, to be disappointing? And that's, for me, focus on individual storylines. Focus on individual performances. Focus on the interesting and the positive of the season, such as, you know, here's what I focus on. Ryan McMahon. How is he going to bounce back from last year? He had a very difficult season. what rookies are gonna debut this year. Keep an eye on them. Nolan Jones, Brenton Doyle, Ezekiel Tovar, how do they follow up their rookie seasons? You know, how does Elias Diaz's last season, potential last season as a Rocky go? It's all about the individual aspects of the game, because the Rockies aren't going to tie together a lot of wins. You know, they're going to win at least 50, probably 60. I have the over on 60 wins. I think their best possible outcome this year, I think I said it was going to be like 65 and 97 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And there's an entire possibility that they lose 100 games again. There is nothing I can do about that. Nothing you can do about that, but you can still enjoy watching Rockies baseball by just sort of fine tuning what your expectations are. If you go into every game expecting them to win, if you go into every game expecting them to be super competitive, I'm sorry. That's an unrealistic expectation.
I expect them to be competitive, like to keep it close. I think that's for me.
Well, over the first two games, they've shown that that is not a realistic expectation.
Hey, they've shown glimpses of it, of maybe for a couple innings.
but
that's my thing, is to keep it close. Like, I don't want them getting blown out and embarrassed every single game, you know, but I want them to go in competitive and show growth and development, like you're saying.
It's like, think of it this way, in the, you know, the song from the first Lego movie, everything is awesome. Well, in the Lego Movie 2,
that movie sucked.
Everything's not awesome, but that doesn't mean that it's hopeless and bleak. Everything's not awesome, but in my heart, I believe. Everything's not awesome. Things can't be awesome all of the time. It's an unrealistic expectation, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to make everything awesome in a less idealistic kind of way. We should maybe aim for not bad, because not bad, well, that would be real great.
Catch Evan at the open mic poetry night.
I only recite spoken word songs from movies.
from children's animated movies.
Under the Sea. Under the sea, everything is better. Down where it's wetter.
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
See, that's singing. I don't do that. I speak. It is like Les Mis, the movie with Russell Crowe.
Boo.
I'm Javi.
Hot take, he was not as bad as people think.
Oh, I enjoyed that movie.
They try to rip on Russell Crowe, but he did okay. It was not terrible.
He did fine. It's a fine movie. It's easy to make fun of, but, you know, it's not Cats 2019.
Ugh. That then had to force a worldwide pandemic. But, but I think that's, honestly, that song lyrics, like, sum it up perfectly. Like, it's not all going to be awesome. Like, it's going to suck a lot of the time. But there's ways we can find to get through it. And I think for me, that's things like watching certain guys, like it's okay. You can be mad at the team and all this stuff. That's perfectly fine. I'm mad at them about a lot of stuff.
Sure. Me too. Like, I did not have fun watching that third inning on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
That was brutal.
Also, testament to the pitch clock, because remember when Alex Colomé took 30 minutes to get through five batters and that inning was like 30 minutes? That half of the inning was over 30 minutes?
It's funny because I was so against the pitch clock. Oh, why does Rob Manfred hate baseball? And to be clear, I still do think that Rob Manfred hates baseball. He makes that very clear. But the pitch clock has ended up being a pretty good thing in terms of pace of play and keeping things moving. It's honestly, it helps to not have to watch the pitcher mull around on the mound for 20 seconds.
It makes those beat down innings a lot better.
Yes, that is true. Like, think about the game last year. People were bringing that up on Thursday. The comparison, the Angels game where we lost 25-1. that game was pretty quick, all things considered, versus other beatdown games that are, they're just so long and they feel long. And granted, they still do feel long, but time-wise, they're not actually.
Mm-hmm. If anything, it just hurts. It just doesn't help to stop the bleeding.
Yes.
But off on our tangent. So I think that's the big thing we can, I think, suggest approaching this season is, I think once you wrap your head around, okay, this is a rebuild year. We're just trying to see what this, they're trying to form an identity. And I think the Rockies are, like Bill Schmidt, and we've talked about before, I think Bill Schmidt's doing better than we expected, I think, as the general manager. He kind of has a vision. Now, is he perfect? Heavens no. As a GM, not everything's working, and there's still a lot of head-scratching moves, but you can kind of see what he's trying to formulate and build as an organization. Now, if things pan out, who knows? But understanding, okay, this is a year, they're just trying to figure some things out. How does pieces fit into the puzzle, trying to move forward with a lot of young guys? I think that's what you have to focus on. Now, veterans like Chris Bryant, yeah, he's going to have to be under a lot more scrutiny because, like, dude, you got to start performing up to that contract. And that's something you got to watch, and he's going to earn some pretty deserving critiques this season. But I think overall, look for that good and understand, okay, you don't have to accept the losing. I don't think that's what we're saying, Evan. Like, you don't have to sit there and accept that we're bad and everything's going to suck and this team's going to lose. No, no one should accept losing, but we should be more understanding, I think, of the losing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I understand why they're losing. I don't like it. I don't accept this as a result. What I will accept is them taking the losing and improving upon it to get better. Yeah.
We're not sitting here and saying, you need to deal with losing. You need to enjoy it. You need to sit down and take your medicine.
You're going to lose 16-1 and you're going to like it.
You're going to love it. We're going to lose 16-1 and you're going to go out and you're going to buy $300 worth of Rockies merchandise, including one of the terrible new jerseys.
Like, we're you're not going to have to sit out in front of your house and then have Dinger ride by on his little Harley and just give you a little love tap in the groin,
which would be hilarious.
Like, you don't have to accept that every day.
Let's be clear, that would be hilarious, and if I could make that happen, I would.
Whack. But like, and that's
a little, with like a little wiffle ball bat, just all right, everybody line up, it's time for your dinger dong.
Oh no. But I think the nice thing is you don't have to pay attention to every Rockies game. Like, this is a year where it's okay to be a casual fan. Like, you can tune in, go to games, have fun. Hey, if they win, great. But don't torture yourself watching every single day. Yes. That's what us journalists and other people have to do for you so you don't have to.
That's what us crazy people do. Don't be like me. I'm going to watch probably almost every Rockies game this year. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that. And you can watch, like we mentioned earlier in the show, you can watch the Rockies minor league affiliates with a lot of really promising and exciting prospects. And it's never been easier to watch minor league baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You could have watched last night before the Rockies game, Jordan Beck hit his first AAA home run.
Mm-hmm. And you can get access to that stuff if you've already got cable or whatever, and you don't want to pay for Rockies TV. Pay for the game day audio, MLB game day audio. You get every team's blackout free audio, so you can listen to games if you want. But then you get the video. You can watch minor league games.
Yes,
free of charge. Added in, and it's pretty easy. You can watch most of the Rockies affiliates. We still have to figure out what's going on with Spokane.
If we were
fed false info.
I've reached out, and I'm just waiting to hear back.
But at least three of the four, you can watch pretty much every game. So
yeah,
and there's ways to be a Rockies fan without necessarily watching the Rockies. You can watch Rockies adjacent, like in the family. You can watch the little siblings.
Yeah.
And they're a little more fun.
Here's the thing. Turn off the game if you're not having a good time. you don't need to make yourself suffer through the entire thing. Like, if it's the fifth inning and we're losing and you're like, you know what, I'm really not feeling it, that's fine. That's totally okay. Go get yourself a $5 Little Caesars hot and ready and play some Xbox or something.
Or you can always...
Not sponsored.
You know, buy MLB The Show, and you go to the daily lineups, and you go into your options and go to... you can tap it down to, let's say, beginner difficulty, and then you can just take out your frustrations and just dominate every other team.
The Trevor Bauer spring training approach. Look at how great I am by beating up on IA players.
Yeah, you can get your revenge virtually via video games. That's the beauty of video games, Evan. You can explore your fantasy world, fulfill your deepest fantasies about the Rockies.
But it really is for this season. Just try and have fun where you can. Try and enjoy it where you can. Look for the individual players. Look for the individual storylines. Enjoy the wins when they happen. Try not to get the losses get you down when they happen. It's going to be a rough year. Nobody ever said it was not going to be. But you can let it not get to you as much. I think last year was really tough for a lot of people because it was the inevitable first 100 loss season. Now that the Band-Aid is torn off, you don't got to suffer through it. You don't got to wait and see, well, what's the new low? No, we're at rock bottom. Even if we do worse this year, we're going to go up eventually is the hope. And you can hold on to that hope and not make yourself miserable. Baseball is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to make you happy. And if it's not making you happy, take a break, do something else.
Go see Godzilla and Kong, the new Empire, now in theaters.
Go see a giant ape, grab an ape toddler by the ankles and use it to beat other giant apes.
Wow, full circle, Evan. How about that? We made a full circle in this episode, and that's a perfect way to end it. Go us.
We truly are the best in the business.
Oh, yeah. We're in mid-season form already. But that'll do it here for Affected by Altitude. Appreciate everybody tuning in and sticking with us as we go throughout this season. It's going to be a rough one. But, hey, together we'll get through this. We'll get through this together. Because, as they say in High School Musical, we are all in this together. Catch me at Open Mic Night for poetry at... But Evan, where can the folks find you?
First I will say I've actually never seen High School Musical.
I saw it once when it like originally came out.
I've seen the South Park episode where they make fun of High School Musical. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Evan_Lang27. You can also find me on Mondays writing the Monday Rock Pile and the Pebble Report, which is going to start back up here now that the minor league season is underway. Skylar, where can we find you?
Find me over on Twitter at @Sideline_Crowd. Doing Wednesday Rock Piles at Purple Row, also writing stuff for fansfirstsports.com. I've been doing some game recaps during this first series. I probably won't do all games, but I'll do them when I see fit. Or when I have time and I can sit down and watch the game and do it that way. But any support over there helps a lot. And be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast apps. You can find us, Rocky Mountain Rooftop, and also subscribe over there on YouTube, which, hey, good stuff.
You can find Rocky Mountain Rooftop on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Utah, the great state of Utah. Find Rocky Mountain Rooftop on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Rocky Mountain Rooftop. That's at @ROCKYMTN Rooftop.
Yeah, that'll do it here for this edition. And let us know other ways we can maybe create some content throughout the season, extra shows, extra ideas. We'll keep brainstorming stuff to keep making content and build our little community.
If this episode gets 500 listens, I will eat an entire can of beans on the next show.
Oy. Okay, there's your goal, folks. Until next time, I'm Skyler. That's Evan. Farewell.
Full circle.